You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 30 July. We've got FOMC rate announcement tonight, 8, and then press conference, 8:30. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today is Mali Mbanjwa, FNB Wealth and Investments. Combine all, market really like that. And then box updates, if we have a minute, market like that too. Krista De Wit from Luno, they're going to be listing some tokenized offshore stocks. We get the what's and the whys. And then Nika Katska from Satrix, autonomous investing. Is this a reality or simply a myth? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. SA awaiting feedback on US trade deal, says Minister Tao, as deadline looms. Yes, that deadline is Friday. Business Day, IMF maintains SA outlook amid marginally higher global optimism. Financial institution hails general resilience, but warns that US tariffs could end up being higher than expected. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P down 0.3%, NASDAQ off 0.2%. The East is mostly red, exception actually mixed. Sydney is up 0.75%, Tokyo just ticked green, 0.02% higher. We've got Hong Kong off 0.25% and Tencent down 0.2%. Commodities mostly green, gold futures 3,387, Brent 72.47, platinum is your red at 1,418 and palladium 1,303. The rand is 1786, Bitcoin 118,000, and top 40 opening call 13 points to the green, which is, well, essentially flat.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Zameli Mbanjwa. He is, of course, F&B Wealth and Investments. Zameli, appreciate the early morning time. Kumba, market really liked. I mean, earnings were flat, dividend down 12%, but good cash holdings, good production. What was stand out for you? Because as I say, certainly the market in a boring day was pushing this one up nicely.
Yes, morning. Thank you for having me, Simon. Yeah, I mean, the market really liked this this filing, interim results. I think for the most part, what was really a standout is the fact that we're starting to see those self-help initiatives or rather strategic turnarounds or rejigging of the operations starting to come through. So what I and Kumba did as part of, I suppose, the Anglo's greater strategic, realignment of the businesses, was align their production with the performance of the Transnet Rail. We've heard a lot of reports recently that Transnet Rail performed really, really, very well in the first half, and we expect more improvements. So Kumba was able to sell more of their iron ore, which is premium. Yeah. And that is important because that means they were able to sell it at a price that is higher than current benchmark prices. So in the context of a subdued global market, this was actually a relatively impressive performance. Revenue only down 4%, whereas the average benchmark price is down around 25%, I think. So you can see that, you know, self-help initiatives are coming through, cost-cutting measures are coming through, EBITDA actually increased by 3%, while margins also expanded there. Mm-hmm. I think by 200 basis points. Maintenance of guidance is also a net positive. So I think just a lot of nuggets of positives that are coming out there, and that, I think, is what impressed the markets.
Yeah, and I take your point. We must always remember, Kumba does have premium iron ore, and that Transnet kind of, I suppose, fitting to what they can make. Switching to Boxer, relatively new, but it's been in our market almost a year. It was a 17-week update for ending 29 June. Turnover up 12.1, like-for-like up 3.9. Again, market liked it. This benefited Boxer. Also, Pick n Pay, who is the majority shareholder there. It was a good-looking update from them.
Yeah, very good looking update. I think Boxer so far has gotten off to a solid start, at least relatively speaking. Yeah, like for like, up 3.9 relative to a 3.7 in the second half of last year, and turnover up in the lower double digits. So that's tracking almost in line with the group's full year turnover targets, which are there about as well in the achieving the low teens. You know, 52-week pro forma basis. What was interesting is that, you know, they now report this volume held constant inflation to sort of bring more visibility to the effective selling price. And what we saw is that we saw a deflationary trend, you know, for this 17-month period, which if you compare it with the first half last year was 0.5%. And 0.1% in the second half. So we're seeing that there are deflationary trends. I think that highlights somewhat, you know, a competitive pricing environment, but also maybe perhaps a strained consumer. But however, Boxer was still able to achieve that high turnover. They were able to sort of, I suppose, the volumes were very good. They were able to close some market share as well.
Yeah, and it was the deflationary trend. I take your point. We don't know why it's there, and it might be because we were all under pressure, but I think as consumers, we will take it. And undoubtedly, some of it was the sort of pricing and sort of competing in that regard. I always wonder who they grabbed their market share from. But we'll leave it there. It's Emily Mbanjwa, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Christo de Wit, Luna Country Manager for South Africa. Christo, appreciate the time. Tokenized stocks you are launching next month, some 60 of them. First question, what's a tokenized stock?
Thanks, Simon. A tokenized stock is a digital representation of a stock traded in the US. So with Luno, we now make it possible for customers to trade these US stocks directly on the Luno platform.
And are you physically holding the stocks? I mean, there's not that sense of counterparty. If I go and buy some, I don't know, whatever it might be, Nvidia, you will have it on the other end.
Yeah, so the interesting thing, Simon, is our custodians are the ones that are actually carrying the stock or holding the stock. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it is tokenized, Luno then takes possession of that token of that stock. So it is always one-to-one backed. And what is seen on the Luno platform is actually held in safe custody.
And is it full stocks? I mean, I imagine with tokenized, I can sort of buy slices and that's probably part of the benefit. And I can probably buy small rand values.
No, exactly. And that's the whole benefit towards it. I think when you look at it, the whole point of tokenized stocks is that it approaches a whole different investor than I think traditional stocks would. And one of those key points is that fractionalization, that you can hold a part of a stock. I mean, you can start your investment journey for as little as 20 Rand and build up your portfolio in that way.
And is it, I mean, I mentioned Nvidia, I think the announcement said it was 60 stocks. So what sort of stocks are you kicking off with?
Yeah, so we're looking at the big ones, you know, S&P 500, Nvidia, we've got Apple, you know, Amazon is on there, we've got Google, Alphabet, Facebook. So it's a big range of stocks, but then we also have the traditional types, right? So, you know, Pfizer will be listed as well, Johnson & Johnson. So it's quite a significant move and it takes a broad range of stock that is listed in the US and now available as tokenized options in South Africa.
And it suddenly occurred to me, one of the things with equity markets is they have opening and closing times. One of the things with crypto markets is they don't. I imagine this is going to be what, either 24/5 or maybe 24/7 trading?
Yes, initially 24/5. We are working very hard to get it to that 24/7 point, but initially 24/5, but you know, round the clock trading, you know, within that period. And it also then, you know, kind of breaks down those barriers that traditional stock trading has posed for all these years. There's also significantly less red tape, much easier market access, and it's definitely a game changer in this space.
It absolutely is. And I mean, in essence, and I remember having this conversation with an offshore broker literally a couple of decades ago. I mean, it becomes, this is 60 stocks to start. Ultimately, in time, it can be a whole lot more. And it becomes, I sort of log onto the platform and it's kind of, what do you want to buy or trade today? The options are almost limitless.
No, it is, Simon. And I think what's great about this is, you know, it's not necessarily a pivot away from crypto, but it's actually bringing the traditional financial space onto the blockchain, a representation of it onto the blockchain. And we can see that merger of the traditional and the digital space, you know, just coming so much closer.
In terms of simple things like dividends, etc., I imagine they're still going to accrue.
Yeah, so the dividends will obviously accrue, but those dividends will just be reinvested in the stock that you hold.
Ah, gotcha, gotcha. What about regulations? Because, of course, there's lots of regulations around exchanges. But to be clear, I mean, Luno is regulated. You are a financial services provider.
We are a regulated financial services provider. And because this is a tokenized stock, it's seen as a crypto, and we are regulated to offer to crypto services. And it's fully within the purview of the regulators. And what is also quite fascinating is that because you are buying these stocks in Rand, you don't have to go into your single discretionary allowance and make use of that because you are buying a foreign stock, because this is a tokenized version of a US stock, but it is traded on Luno within South Africa. You don't have to go into that single discretionary allowance.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, yeah. And the offshore and all of those sort of complexities. Yes. Will you have market makers there? I mean, we see it in, I'm thinking, EFTs and derivative products on exchange. There's market makers. Will you be doing that, or will it be a case of supply and demand?
It is a case of supply and demand, but there's a lot of market dynamics also at play here. And our custodians who will be buying the crypto or the tokenized stocks are the ones that are going to be accumulating these. And then Luno would go and do the part of the tokenization.
That's the most important question. A lot of folks out there saying, what are your fees going to be?
So the fees are very reasonable. We're going out with 1% that we charge to customers, which is already significantly better than you would see from any traditional stockbroking.
And is there an admin fee? I'm trying to think, because I've got some crypto on your platform and I'm not being charged an admin fee in there, because that's one of the sneaky fees that sometimes comes along.
No, exactly, Simon. What you see on platform is what you get. There's no significant admin fee, no monthly fees, nothing like that. It's purely the fee that you will pay, you know, on the trade of the stock.
A quick last question, totally off topic. The Genius Act passed in Parliament in the US recently around stablecoins. Stablecoins really are coming into their own, and probably we're going to be seeing massive growth over the months, years ahead as a form of sort of non-fiat currency.
No, absolutely. We're seeing the passing of the Genius Act is very significant. I think it's, again, one of those watershed moments in that not only just the crypto industry, but the financial industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think what the impact of that we'll see over the next few years is going to be quite significant.
Krista De Wit, Luno Country Manager for South Africa. Always appreciate the time. And that's our poll today. The tokenized stocks on the blockchain. Is this something that interests you? Is this something that you're going to be taking a look at and buying some of those stocks? Or you're saying, nope, you don't have no need. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Nico Katsuka. He's head of portfolio solutions at Satrix. Nico, appreciate the early morning time. Autonomous investing. I love the AI phraseology to it. I suppose first question is what when we talk autonomous investing, I mean, what is it? Is it just letting the robot go off and do it for us? Or what are we thinking around here?
Good morning, Simon, and to your listeners from a wet and very cold Cape Town. It's good to speak to you again. It's a very interesting question. I think, the question is, who knows? Who knows what autonomous investing will mean in the future? I think it's probably important to take a step back first and, you know, acknowledge that investing is and really should be a highly subjective and personal exercise.
Yeah.
You know, risk and return preferences are very closely linked to one's investment horizon, risk appetite, liquidity needs, and the like. You know, if you're investing for 12 months with a high chance that you'll need the money sooner, the advice should be very simple. Keep it safe and liquid. Mm-hmm. If you're investing for 10 plus years with very little likelihood of needing the funds, then I would say your biggest risk is not taking enough risk. And actually, you know, knowing all of these nuances behind your own investment decisions is incredibly important. And, you know, of course, we're not even talking about tax considerations, but that matter a great deal too. You know, as does the emotional challenge of staying invested. Now, this is, for example, where we think advisors can be worth their weight in gold. It's actually just encouraging you and being that sort of personal connection between you and your investments. You know, look, AI in theory can offer generic investment advice, but also only if prompted precisely and fed the right context. You know, I think this is where we've seen robo-advisors in the US, for example. We haven't seen the uptake that many expected. And for good reason. You know, advice is deeply personal. It's a human process. And it often requires empathy, flexibility, nuance, you know, things that AI don't yet do very well.
Yeah, and I remember robo-advisors, and to your point, I mean, they came storming out the gate about a decade ago and then faded away. And it is, and advisors, I say it often, they're almost like your therapist in a sense, in a sort of indexation space. And I'm thinking sort of not your passive, you're a little more active. You've got the Satrix Global Factor Enhanced Index, for example. Certainly something autonomous investing, and maybe it's more sort of machine learning, can actually be helpful and actually sort of in managing the process and reviewing sort of macro and maybe some tweaks that need to be made.
Yeah, of course, that's a great point. You know, AI and machine learning or autonomous investing, however you want to define it, these will definitely have an influence on the investment management industry, but I would say perhaps not in the ways that we expect, right? Mm-hmm. So you mentioned index investing or simple passive strategies. You know, the rules are fixed, so AI won't help you improve that.
Yeah.
Stock weights in, for example, the S&P 500 or top 40 JSE top 40 index, these are based on cap on market cap, right? So the size of a company. So no discretion is required. And in this way, vanilla indexation won't be impacted directly. But I would argue that the impact will be indirect. Mm-hmm. As AI and machine learning make prices more efficient, you can sort of foresee that index weights will be a better reflection of information available at the time, which, you know, in turn makes it harder for active managers to find price inefficiencies.
Mm.
So you can almost argue that as AI starts to enter the conversation, you know, and as our investment processes become more complex and better at managing a lot of information quite timeously, you would argue that opportunities will exist for active managers, but I would argue that they will be harder to come by and incredibly scarce. But of course, then you also mentioned non-vanilla indexation, like our Global Factor Enhanced strategy, which uses machine learning and all these nice algorithms and things that you can think of that kind of add a bit more robustness to the rules that we use. Now, of course, there's always criticism like overfitting. You know, it looks great on paper, but it's weak in performance. Data integrity, garbage in, garbage out. You know, all of these things apply to automated strategies. But I would also say that humans aren't fully immune to these criticisms either. We also overfit and, you know, have a lack of data integrity, even if we apply, you know, our own discretion. So if anything, I think AI and humans may end up managing side by side. You know, the machines offering the efficiency and the consistency, and then humans providing insight, emotional intelligence, you know, just adding that spice that you can't fully automate or code for that matter.
Yeah, because investing is personal, both as at the advisor point, but also just at the actual sort of managing the fund. My sense is, and you kicked off the answer to my first question perfectly, which is we don't actually know what the future is going to be around this. We are, you know, so much we are days away from day zero. There's a long way to go. I suppose the key point is that as kind of use it, but be skeptical, particularly as an individual investor. At this point, it is perhaps overly rough around the edges.
I agree. When you said day zero, I shuddered because, you know, a few years back in Cape Town, we were close to that. I promise you now, we are fully drenched at the moment. I think, you know, given the rise of AI, generative AI, I would almost think that its biggest benefit is also part of its biggest problem, is that it always gives you an answer, and a very convincing answer at that, right? And nuance is needed when it comes to investing, and especially investing advice. You know, we sometimes have to look at facts, but then add our own discretion to it, or just say, you know, there's more to investing in a stock or in a particular strategy than meets the eye, I suppose. And AI is not great at communicating that, at saying, I'm not sure, or, you know, adding sort of a disclaimer. It typically doesn't do that. And so it seems natural for us to believe that, you know, the future of investing lies in automation. It's such a hard question, because I think fully autonomous investing might not be viable for most. You know, AI should improve investor outcomes, like I mentioned earlier, indirectly by reducing costs and making the industry more efficient. But I think hoping that it will disintermediate advisors or make fund managers completely redundant is probably a bridge too far. Even once we reach day zero and go into day 100 with fully, you know, AI fully embedded, I think we're still going to see the human element be quite critical, both in advising as well as managing. But be on the lookout. I think index investing will still come out trumps in terms of being, you know, important for cost management, but also highly efficient and hard to beat.
Yeah, highly efficient, hard to beat. And I love that. AI always has an answer, and we should be scared of that truth. Nico Katzke, Head of Portfolio Solutions, Satrix. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Kieran Whitten yesterday. He, of course, from Anchor. We're talking Valterra Platinum results and his broader take on the PGM sector. His key point, stay close to the door. We asked you if you're bullish PGMs. It was fairly evenly split. A third of you saying cautious, a third saying to the moon, and the rest saying, no, it is going to fade. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Gold Q2 report.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.